This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Joe Lipari for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We're reading from the latest issue of Science News. The articles we'll be reading today will include the universe may have a complex geometry, like a donut. Another article is extreme heat will put millions more older adults at risk in the future. And also we'll read chronic asthma could be caused by cell overcrowding in the airways. And we'll read other articles as time permits. So our first article is entitled, The Universe May Have a Complex Geometry, Like a Donut. Scientists previously considered only a small subset of possible topologies. This article was written by Emily Conover and is dated May 13, 2024. It begins, The cosmos may have something in common with a donut. In addition to their fried, sugary goodness, donuts are known for their shape, or in mathematical terms, their topology. In a universe with an analogous complex topology, you could travel across the cosmos and end up back where you started. Such a cosmos hasn't yet been ruled out, physicists report in the April 26 Physical Review letters. On a shape with boring or trivial topology, any closed path you draw can be shrunk down to a point. For example, consider traveling around the Earth. If you were to go all the way around the equator, that's a closed loop. But you could squish that donut down by shifting your trip up to the North Pole. But the surface of a donut has a complex or non-trivial topology. A loop that encircles the donut's hole, for example, can't be shrunk down because the hole limits how far you can squish it. The universe is generally believed to have a trivial topology, but that's not known for certain, the researchers argue. Quote, I find it fascinating, the possibility that the universe may have non-trivial or different types of topologies, and then especially the fact that we think we might be able to measure it, unquote, says cosmologist Dragan Hunterer of the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, who was not involved with the study. A universe with non-trivial topology might be a bit like Pac-Man. In the classic arcade game, moving all the way to the edge of the screen puts the character back at the left side. A Pac-Man trick that crosses the screen and returns the character to its starting point, likewise, can't be shrunk down. Scientists have already looked for signs of complex topology in the cosmic microwave background. Light from when the universe was just 380,000 years old. Because of the way space loops back on itself in a universe with non-trivial topology, scientists might be able to observe the same feature in more than one place. Researchers have searched for identical circles that appear in that light in two different places in the sky. They've also hunted for subtle correlations or similarities between different spots, rather than identical matches. Those searches didn't turn up any evidence for complex topology, but theoretical physicist Glenn Starkman and colleagues argue there's still a chance that the universe does have something in common with a donut. That's because earlier research considered only a small subset of the possible topologies the universe could have. That subset includes one type of non-trivial topology called a three-torus, a cube that loops back on itself like a 3D version of the Pac-Man screen. In such a topology, exiting any side of that cube brings you back to the opposite side. Searches for the simple three torus have come up empty. But scientists haven't yet researched for some three torus variations. For example, the sides of the cube might be twisted relative to one another. In such a universe, exiting the top of the cube would bring you back to the bottom, but rotated for example, 180 degrees. The new study considered a total of 17 possible non-trivial topologies for the cosmos. Most of those topologies, the authors determined, haven't yet been ruled out. The study evaluated the signatures that would appear in the cosmic microwave background for different types of typologies. Further analyses of that ancient light could reveal hints of these complex typologies, the researchers found. The search is likely to be computationally challenging, probably requiring machine learning techniques to speed up calculations. The researchers also plan to hunt for signs of non-trivial typology in upcoming data from surveys of the distribution of galaxies in the cosmos, for example, from the European Space Agency's Euclid space telescopes. That's a good motivation to look for non-trivial topology, says Starkman of Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Some features of the cosmic microwave background hint that the universe isn't the same in all directions. That kind of asymmetry could be explained by non-trivial topology. And that asymmetry, Starkman says, is, quote, one of the biggest new mysteries about the universe that hasn't gone away, unquote. This article was written by Emily Conover, who is the physics writer at the Science News. She has a PhD in physics from the University of Chicago, and she's a two-time winner of the DC Science Writers Association News Brief Award. So our next article is entitled, Extreme Heat Will Put Millions More Older Adults at Risk in the Future. Acute heat exposures are expected to increase as temperatures and aging populations rise. This article is written by Amy Cunningham and is dated May 15, 2024. It begins, nearly a quarter of the global population of older adults at mid-century could face extreme heat, putting their health in danger. By 2050, as many as an additional 246 million adults aged 69 and older could experience temperature extremes that exceed 37.5 degrees Celsius. Researchers report May 14th in Nature Communications. The new projection suggests that more than 23% of the global population of these older adults, largely concentrated in Africa and Asia, will encounter this intense heat, compared with 14% today. Quote, protecting our older population will be increasingly critical in the years to come, unquote, says cardiologist, epidemiologist Andrew Chang of Stanford University and the University of California, San Francisco, who is not involved with the research. Quote, older adults can be exquisitely vulnerable to the impacts of heat, unquote. Exposure to hot temperatures is physiologically demanding, and there is a limit to how much heat the body can tolerate. Heat extremes are especially risky for older adults for many reasons. The aging body can't cool off as efficiently. Older adults often have chronic illnesses that are worsened by heat, such as cardiovascular disease or diabetes. People in this age group commonly take medications that are dehydrating, and some older adults are socially isolated, are limited in their mobility, or have cognitive impairments. Quote, it's this kind of perfect storm of biological aging, social loneliness, and then cognition that make heat so much worse for older people, unquote, says Deborah Carr, a sociologist of aging at Boston University. Carr and colleagues projected the population of those aged 69 and up by 2050 and estimated the impact of climate change on the regions where these older adults will reside. The researchers assessed chronic heat exposure, prolonged exposure to uncomfortable heat, and acute exposures, which are short-lived but extreme, such as during a heat wave. The team found that chronic exposure, calculated by taking the average temperature across all the days of the year and determining how many degrees each day will exceed a threshold temperature of comfort, will increase worldwide by 2050. In terms of acute heat, there will be an increase worldwide in the number of days each year that exceed 37.5 degrees Celsius. From an average of 10 days to around 20, there will also be a greater upper bound to how high temperatures can reach during extreme heat, depending on the region. Quote, both the frequency and the intensity will increase as a result of climate change, unquote, says Giacomo Falchetta, a climate change researcher in the Euro-Mediterranean Center of Climate Change in Venice, Italy. The team also looked at the contribution of two factors, population aging and increasing heat, to understand which was driving the projected results depending on the region. In regions in the global south, which have historically been hotter, a growing share of the population is aging. Regions in the global north, which are, quote, colder and older, unquote, Carr says, quote, are experiencing more heat extremes, unquote. There isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to reduce the risks from increasing heat exposure to older adults. Falchetta says, but the options include strengthening health care infrastructure, ensuring sufficient nutrition and hydration, implementing heat early warning systems, providing public cooling centers, and expanding green spaces and tree cover to reduce urban heat island effects. As for the study's projections, there remains uncertainty on the climate. Falchetta says, depending on reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. Regarding the demographic changes, quote, these people have already been born. They are people like me, unquote, he says. Countries need to, quote, start planning now on how to accommodate the needs of those people in the future, unquote. The article's author, Amy Cunningham, is the biomedical writer at Science News. She has a master's degree in science journalism from New York University. Our next article is entitled, Chronic Asthma. Chronic asthma could be caused by cell overcrowding in the airways. Treatments have targeted the symptoms of the lung disease, not the cause. This article was written by Monique Bruyette and is dated May 10th, 2024. It begins, despite a wealth of available treatments to control the symptoms of chronic asthma, the lung disease has no cure. The discovery of an unexpected cause of asthma could change that. A glitch in the mechanical process that drives normal turnover of epithelial cells lining the lungs could be to blame, researchers report in the April 5 Science. Better understanding of this physical force underpinning chronic asthma attacks might lead to new ways of combating the disease. The mechanical process that drives epithelial lung cell turnover is called cell extrusion. It goes something like this. Epithelial cells in the lung lining replicate, and as new cells populate the tissue, things get crowded and pressure between the cells increases. Cells sense the overcrowding and initiate a process that ejects weaker cells from the layer, forcing them to die off. The process maintains a healthy epithelial lining in the airways. There have been hints that this process could be implicated in asthma, but researchers studying the disease, which affects 300 million people worldwide and contributes to the death of 1,000 people a day, have focused on other triggers. In the early 1900s, the discovery that epinephrine could reverse shortness of breath led scientists to believe the disease was due to constriction of the smooth muscles surrounding the lungs. Decades later, scientists revised their understanding to include a problem with persistent inflammation in the airway. After looking at images of lungs whose linings were riddled with damage from chronic asthma under the microscope, cell biologist Jody Rosenblatt had an epiphany. In 2015, she had published research showing the pressure from overcrowding in the epithelium could trigger cell death and extrusion. She wondered, could the pressure from a single asthma attack kick off a vicious cycle of cell death, damage to the lungs, and future asthma attacks? To test the hypothesis, she and colleagues first used methacholine, a drug that narrows the bronchioles, the tiniest airways lacing the lungs, to simulate asthma attacks in living mouse lung tissue primed to be hyper-responsive. 15 minutes of constricting the airways caused severe crowding of epithelial cells and led to an excess of cells being ejected, with a strong correlation between the amount of constriction caused by the crowding and the slowing of cells. To see whether similar effects occurred in humans, Rosenblatt and colleagues obtained airway samples from people with moderate to severe asthma who were having lung cancer surgery. The patient's samples showed severe extrusion, a buildup of mucus and immune cells, and damage in the airways, the team found. Quote, "There was way too much extrusion and the whole epithelium just fell apart," unquote, says Rosenblatt of King's College London. Quote, "The damage itself can start to feed back because you don't have enough epithelium coating your airways, so your lungs stay constricted all the time, trying to reduce their surface area," unquote. The lungs will contract to maintain a barrier and keep allergens and irritants out. Treatment of the mouse tissue with albuterol, a drug that relaxes the airways, did ease the constriction, but did nothing to reverse the damage. As the mouse lung slices relaxed and the airways opened, there were more gaps in the epithelial lining, providing openings for allergens and irritants to get in. This may explain why people with asthma have noted that while albuterol helps with breathing, it feels like asthma can get worse over time, Rosenblatt says. The research is, quote, "a gorgeous example of how the mechanics of the tissue contributes to the disease," unquote, says Lisa Manning, a physicist at Syracuse University in New York, who is not involved with the paper. She thinks physical forces play central role in human health and disease, though they are currently underappreciated. In another series of experiments, Rosenblatt's team tested whether blocking cell receptors that sense mechanical force in mouse cells could prevent or reverse some of the damage from the excessive cell extrusion. The team targeted piezo-1, a protein that senses the mechanical pressure of epithelial cells crowding, the first step in cell extrusion. After administering drugs that inhibited the receptor, the researchers observed a significant decrease in jettisoned cells, inflammation, and mucus production, suggesting a way to prevent the damage. These findings need to continue to be tested in mice and humans to see if there could be clinical applications. Since we have time, we will read another article, which is entitled, "Should we use AI to resurrect digital, quote-unquote, ghosts of the dead?" Experts warn safeguards are necessary as the digital afterlife industry grows. The author has included a photograph of an ad, which includes a picture of a grandmother being hugged by a granddaughter. And it says, be the favorite grandkid forever. Under the photograph is a caption which says, "McNana isn't a real company. However, it's possible with today's generative AI technology to use data from a grandparent who has died to create an interactive deepfake bot." Researchers used a research technique called design fiction to conceptualize this disruptive vision of society and explore its potential ethical issues. So this article was written by Catherine Hulick and is dated May 15th, 2024. It begins, "When missing a loved one who has passed away, you might look at old photos or listen to old voicemails. Now, with artificial intelligence technology, you can also talk with a virtual bot made to look and sound just like them. The companies Silicon Intelligence and Superbrain already offer this service. Both rely on generative AI, including large language models similar to the one behind ChatGPT, to sift through snippets of text, photos, audio recordings, video, and other data. They use this information to create digital ghosts, quote-unquote, of the dead, to visit the living. Called grief bots, dead bots, or recreation services, these digital replicas of the deceased, quote, create an illusion that a dead person is still alive and can interact with the world as if nothing actually happened, as if death didn't occur, unquote, says Katarzyna Nowaczyk-Basinka, a researcher of the Lever-Hulme Center for the Future of Intelligence at the University of Cambridge, who studies how technology shapes people's experiences of death, loss, and grief. She and colleague Tomasz Holanczyk, a technology ethicist at the same university, recently explored the risks of technology that allows for a type of, quote, digital immortality, unquote, in a paper published May 9th in Philosophy and Technology. Could AI technology be racing ahead of respect for human dignity? To get a handle on this, Science News spoke with Nowaczyk-Basinka. This interview has been edited for length and clarity. Science News, the TV show Black Mirror, ran a chilling episode in 2013 about a woman who gets a robot that mimics her dead boyfriend. How realistic is that story? Nowaczyk-Basinka, we are already here, without the body, but definitely the digital resurrection based on a huge amount of data. That's our reality. In my relatively short academic career, I've been witnessing a significant shift from the point where digital immortality technologies were perceived as a very marginalized niche, to the point where we have the term, quote, digital afterlife industry, unquote. For me, as a researcher, it's fascinating. As a person, it can be very scary and very concerning. We use speculative scenarios and design fiction as research method, but we do not refer to some distant future. Instead, we speculate on what is technologically and socially possible here and now. Science News, your paper presents three imaginary yet problematic scenarios that could arise with these dead bots. Which one do you personally find most dystopian? Nowaczyk-Basinka, in one of our scenarios, we present a terminally ill woman leaving a grief bot to assist her 8-year-old son with the grief process. We use this example because we think that exposing children to this technology might be very risky. I think we could go even further and use this in the near future to even conceal the fact of the death of a parent or the significant relative from a child. And at that moment, we know very, very little about how these technologies would influence children. We argue that if we can't prove that this technology won't be harmful, we should take all possible measures to protect the most vulnerable. And in this case, that would mean age-restricted access to these technologies. Science News, what other safeguards are important? Nowaczyk-Basinka, we should make sure that the user is aware that they are interacting with AI. The technology can simulate language patterns and personality traits based on processing huge amounts of personal data, but it's definitely not a conscious entity. We also advocate for developing sensitive procedures of retiring or deleting dead bots. And we also highlight the significance of consent. Could you describe the scenario you imagine that explores consent from the bot user? We present an older person who has secretly, that's a very important word, secretly, committed to a dead bot of themselves, paying for a 20-year subscription, hoping it will comfort their adult children. And now just imagine that after the funeral, the children receive a bunch of emails, notifications, or updates from the recreation service, along with the invitation to interact with the bot of their deceased father. The children should have a right to decide whether they want to go through the grieving process in this way or not. For some people, it might be comforting, and it might be helpful, but for others, not. Science News. You also argue that it's important to protect the dignity of human beings, even after death. In your imagined scenario about this issue, an adult woman uses a free service to create a dead bot of her long deceased grandmother. What happens next? Nwasik Bazinka. She asks the dead bot about the recipe for homemade carbonara spaghetti that she loved cooking with her grandmother. Instead of receiving the recipe, she receives a recommendation to order that food from a popular delivery service. Our concern is that grief bots might become a new space for a very sneaky product placement, encroaching upon the dignity of the deceased and disrespecting their memory. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Joe Lipari for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Have a great day.